Go ahead and take your Bibles. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter number 5. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to find three seemingly lost causes, three seemingly impossible cases. We're going to find a demon-possessed man that Jesus delivers. We're going to see a diseased woman that touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. And there's a dead child that's going to be raised from death to life. Three seemingly impossible situations. And we're going to focus on that first one this morning. And we're going to rejoice in the Lord today because Jesus can step into any situation that seems impossible and he can do the miraculous. Amen. And that's what he wants to do in your life today. Jesus makes the difference. We could say it this way. Jesus makes all the difference. And he makes the difference in my life. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to discover how Jesus, in no uncertain terms, has power, all power. The devil has some power, but he has all power. I just kind of sense in the spirit a shield, a hedge around this place as we talked about the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The devil has some power, but Jesus has all power. In fact, anything that the devil does, he has to get permission from God to do. And God works it out for his glory and for our good. You see, he has power over demons. He has power over the devil. Jesus has power over disease. In Mark chapter 5, he has the final word. There may be physicians, but he is the great physician. And Jesus has power over death. He who was raised from the dead can bring you that is dead in trespasses and sins and bring you from death to life. In Mark chapter 4, we saw how they encountered a fierce storm. The word of God said that the storm was so violent that they thought they were going to die. And Jesus is awakened from his sleep and he stands and he says, "Peace, be still." And scripture says there was a great calm. The disciples after that wonderful event look at each other and they fear exceedingly. And they say this, they wonder what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him. They ask the question in chapter 4, but the question is answered by the demons in chapter number 5. In fact, did you know that the demons were the first in the Gospel of Mark to fully recognize who Jesus was? There were those that mocked him and belittled him, but even the demons bowed before Jesus and said, "Thou art the Son of the Most High God." Mark leaves that chronology to let us know that even the supernatural, especially the demons, believed and trembled. If the demons believe, how much more should we believe? Not only believe and bow, but to personally receive as our Savior and our Lord. I want you to notice verse number 1. The Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." So many of us know the story, how Jesus, they go to the other side, and Jesus goes there intentionally, I believe, to deliver this demon-possessed man. And they get off the boat, and they meet this man who is demon-possessed, the man of the Gadarenes. We've called him the maniac of Gadara, or the demoniac of Gadara. He's so possessed that they try to bind him with shackles and chains, and he's like Samson on steroids. He's strong enough to break them. They try to tame them, but the word for tame is like for an animal. They could not tame him. No man could tame him. He had his dwelling among the tombs. Now keep in mind, this was not some nice, beautifully manicured cemetery. It wasn't some flowered field. It was the Gentile region where there were just caves on the side of the hills where they would cast the dead, rotting bodies. That's where he chose to live, the living among the dead. And just like there was a storm on the sea, there was a storm in this man's soul that was ripping him apart, that was killing him, that was violently tearing him. And Jesus meets this man possessed of a demon, and Jesus makes a difference. I was thinking about naming this message. I thought first of all about Legion. since that was the name the demons gave themselves. But I realize it's not about Legion, it's about the Lord. In fact, the last we see of this one that was named Legion is they're broken asunder and drowning 2,000 some swine. These demons will for eternity be burning, declaring Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The message today is not to draw attention to the devil or to his power, to these demons. It's to draw attention to Jesus. So I thought about a title about that. I thought about The Exorcist. And that lasted about a minute or so. And I thought that was probably not the best title to go with. Although Jesus is the one that cast out the devils. Pastor Kevin called yesterday and said, what's the title of your message? What are you preaching on? I said, well, I know what I'm preaching on, but I don't know the title of the message. Kind of, you know, stuck with Naked and Afraid even. And, you know, I'm not even sure where I'm at on this one. And Johnny Pope had a title called The Nude Dude with a Rude Mood and with an Attitude. And I was like, I don't know, but that's good. But I thought when he saw Jesus. Yes. And, but, you know, I really liked that. Then I realized that it was actually when Legion saw Jesus and went to scare him. I was like, I don't know about that one. And I realized our theme this year is make a difference. This is all about Jesus making a difference. Jesus makes a difference. Look at this text this morning. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 4, this gospel that reveals Jesus as the suffering servant has power. We're going to see his service. We're going to see his spirit of love as he delivers this one who is demonically possessed. We see the demonstration, I believe, here with our theme. This is the culminating chapter. Mark chapter 5. You know, we're making a lot of time here through the gospel of Mark. We started in January. We're already in chapter 5 in April. We'll get through it. But Jesus has already very, very systematically, chronologically, has proven his power over the natural world. Yeah. Chapter 5, we see he proves his power over the supernatural world. Jesus, who can calm the Savior, who can calm the storm on the outside, can still what is happening on your inside. Yes. He makes a difference. Look at his commission in verse number 19. Jesus in love speaks to this one who is possessed, now delivered. And he says, go home to thy friends. Now, I think about this friends. He probably lost these friends. I don't think they're really his friends much anymore. I don't know the story of this one. I don't want to imagine too much. I don't know what he got involved in. At some point he had friends. Some point he had family. And something he got involved in now took over him and now fully possessed him. But he says, go back to your friends. And tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. Not what he did, but how he did it. Tell them how he did it for you and had compassion on thee. That's our theme. And of some having what? Compassion, making a difference. It's the compassion of Christ that makes the difference here in Mark chapter 5. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, the region that is today the country of Jordan. The Decapolis is just a 10-city region. This is the Gentiles. This is the first gospel witness to the Gentiles. A formerly demonically possessed man who goes out and he goes to Decapolis, these 10 cities, and he begins to publish how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Jesus had compassion. It made a difference, and it turned this demonically possessed man into a missionary. The first Gentile missionary in the region of the country known today as Jordan. But it's interesting, this all men marveled. Because he was no longer the maniac of Gadara. He was different. He was no longer naked. He was clothed. He was no longer out of his mind. He was in his right mind. He was no longer cutting himself in the caves and in the tombs. He was at the feet of Jesus, praising Jesus. He was out in the cities publishing and preaching the gospel. Why? Because Jesus makes a difference. Don't ever give up on somebody. Don't ever think they've gone too far or done too much. Jesus can make a difference in their life. Jesus makes a difference. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in the lives of your family and your friends. He wants to make a difference. Say, listen, today, if we just be honest with ourselves, I'm looking at a bunch this morning that he's made a difference in our life. There are some that just a few years ago may have been hung over this morning. There have been some that may have gone through some sort of immoral relationship. relationship and feeling the regret of that. There may be some today that would just have been trying sin after sin and seeing no success, just bound by sin. But now you're in your right mind. Now you're at the feet of Jesus praising Him. You're redeemed. You're cleansed by His blood. You're clothed in His righteousness. If He's made a difference in your life, thank Him for the blood. Praise Him. Publish. Praise Him at His feet. And then go out and preach the gospel and proclaim, because how beautiful are the feet of them that bring forth the good tidings of the gospel. If you're saved today, you know, as we started the whole service, we're just a sinner saved by grace. Sinner saved by grace. And but by the grace of God, there go I. And anybody at any time could be in this condition without Jesus Christ. If you're saved, He's made a difference. I like the old gospel song. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. 33 miracles rather in the gospels of these 33, four are considered exorcisms. The most famous here is in Mark chapter 5. There's a man who refers to himself in the plural as Legion. Let me say this in love today. The non-binary he, they, she, they wickedness is either deranged or demonic. There are those today, increasingly, just 10, 15 years ago, if you said this would be happening on a regular basis, where they would be demanding that you refer to them in the plural, we would say that would never happen. This was a man that was demanding, these demons were demanding and referring themselves in the plural, but it's interesting, the text, the Bible refers to him as a he when the demons demand a we. I remind you this morning that Jesus did not come to the sinner and criticize the sinner. He cast out the spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let us look at those that are lost in sin, and let's not just let them know everything's okay. Let's speak the truth in love, because Jesus came to set the captives free. There is hope for a world increasingly confused and blinded by the devil. There is hope for those that would say there's no way they're going to change. As soon as they land on the shore, the scripture says this man comes screaming towards them when he saw Jesus. Matthew tells us that this was what he would do. He would scare people. Most likely these pig farmers like them, these men, because it scared away the wild animals as well. They liked them there. They didn't want them to be gone. They didn't like this man that delivered. And they came to scream towards Jesus. Imagine if you're one of the disciples. You just went through a storm and you're just getting your legs under your feet, and all of a sudden this demon possessed naked dude comes at you. I would think they were like, let's get back in the boat. Let's just go back to fishing for a few hours and go our way. What would you do? I'd be tempted to run back in the boat or introduce, you know, him to my two good friends, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. But Jesus doesn't do that. The world sees a problem. Jesus sees a person. And he allows them to approach him. He doesn't criticize, he casts out. He recognizes where he's at and what this man is controlled by. You see, this man is infested with evil spirits. He's a madman. He's a maniac. He's completely out of control. His own personality, his friendships, whatever happened, is completely subdued under the expression of the demonic force. He doesn't think for himself. He doesn't talk for himself. He doesn't act for himself. I've dealt with these in this area. I've gone many areas. If you've been out to street preaching, you run into this. You've been to other countries. Our America, a lot of times, we're shielded by it. We're entertained by it. But it's a reality in many parts of the world. I've seen it, even here in services. I'm not going to be speaking too much about it, but I've seen manifestations. I've dealt with it and seen, as we've prayed, there are many who are in this room that have been in prayer circles where we've seen people delivered from demonic possession. We don't seek after it. Years of recovery from that. But I've seen it. In fact, I was in the other day up in the Asheville area, which is a very There's a lot of demonic activity up in that area in the mountains. I could feel it. There's some parts where I could walk into a place and feel the oppression. It's a beautiful area. Many of the people are controlled. This man was Satan's prized exhibit. You go down certain parts of the area. By the way, drug, the word for drugs, and is the word, same word for demonic possession. A lot of times that's a portal, an invitation. When somebody is under that influence, that they are allowing now spirits to enter in him. That's why we don't have to be drunk with wine, where in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because the unholy spirits, when we're under the control of the flesh, will enter in. And there will be all sorts of either of internal oppression, a possession, or external oppression, however it works. Listen, you don't want to mess around with the evil darkness of this world. This man, I don't know how he started in it, but he got controlled by it. And eventually he's no longer able to even speak for himself. I've met people and they will tell you, or whatever it is they're speaking to you will tell you, that's what they want to do as they're destroying themselves. But that's not what they want to do. That's what the devil wants them to do. I'm glad there's a God in heaven who reaches the unreached, who loves the unlovable, who rescues the lost causes. You know what that tells me today? It doesn't matter what you look like or what you're wearing. This man was naked. God can save you. He didn't get his clothes on to get saved. He got saved and he got his clothes on. It doesn't matter what you sound like. This man was shrieking. The word for Mark uses the term for a cacophony, just a guttural cacophony of sounds. Not even intelligible. He didn't go to speech class and get the right words and say the sinner's prayer in perfect intonations to get saved. He got saved. It doesn't matter what you sound like. It doesn't matter where you are. This man was dwelling among decaying bodies in the tombs. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you sound like. It doesn't matter where you are. God loves you. Amen. Jesus died for you. And you can be delivered because Jesus makes a difference. He'll find you. He'll save you. He'll make a difference in you if you surrender him today. Let's walk through the text this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, the presence of darkness. So step through this. I see eight or so indications of darkness in someone's life. And we're not going to take these as simply looking at others and judging, but joining alongside and wonder when this, the God of this world that seeks to either possess unbelievers or oppressed and many times even internally influence saved people. This is darkness. This is when you can recognize darkness in someone's life. See it in this man. Consider our culture. Number one, this man dresses without shame. He's naked. From the very moment of the fall, God placed within the conscience of man an understanding of shame. Adam and Eve clothed themselves with leaves, but the Lord clothed them with skins to show sacrifice and the shedding of blood that they would need for redemption and to be clothed with his righteousness. Throughout the pages of God's word, God would have us consider our fallen nature and his holiness, even as we make selection of what we wear. Clothing often, or lack of it, often communicates what's happening in someone's life. Now listen, men and to women, women are to dress, men are to dress like men, women are to dress like women. The Bible says in Scripture that in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Men and women are both to dress modestly, amen, both to dress with distinction. It's sad and it's wrong to see what's happening in society as that's being blurred and blended or even removed. The Bible does speak of Proverbs 7:11. There's the attire of a harlot. The Bible reminds us that women are to dress with propriety, shamefacedness, and modesty. We live in a culture that increasingly shows skin. We're moving into a season that increasingly shows skin. Ladies, if you use meat to attract a man, you're going to get a dog every time. Amen. Jeremiah 6 verse 15 says someone can get to the point where they can no longer blush. Men dressing like women, women dressing like men. Friend, let's not criticize the sinner. Let's not make fun of the sinner. But realize we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood. There's a demonically inspired influence behind all of that. He was dressing without shame. He was also dressing without sense. Being naked in the wilderness, I've been backpacking and I never really said, hey, listen, it's time to just get out in the nature and do my thing. I want protection. I'm not going to join that show. I don't recommend it. It's crazy. Being naked in the wilderness is not a reasonable thing to do from the standpoint of protecting yourself from the sun or the cold winters. This doesn't make any sense. There's some people that do things that don't make any sense and wondering what in the world is wrong with them. Maybe there's a demonic influence. A brokenness. I understand there's issues of mental struggles. I've dealt with them. I've worked with that. I understand that. But a lot of times that is even influenced by a broken world that we're in. It's winter. It's winter during this time. And no doubt his body is cold without cover. We wonder why there's no shame. We wonder why there's no sense. When you see that, understand darkness may be at work. Number two, this man was identified with the culture of death. Look at verse 2. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, night and day, in the mountains, and where? In the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. We mentioned this. The number one description of this man was that he just liked to be around that which was dead. He's down in the graveyard. Some say he was trying to communicate with demonic ghosts of the departed. Others say he was a man under such control, he was already dead in the eyes of his friends and family. He was just out of it, so they just threw him in the cave, hoping that he would die there. Listen, we look at the dark fashions. We look at the dark movies and music. And let me tell you, friend, we look at the dark celebrations, and there's darkness that's at work that most likely has some sort of demonic influence. And the more interest, the more involvement in darkness when Jesus is the light. He came out to take us out of darkness into the light. We know there's demonic activity. Isaiah 65 verse 4 says, there is that which remaineth among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. He says there's going to come a time where these people that were so demonically influenced, they were just living wild, animalistic type lives. And we see that at work even today. Number three, this man was a disturber of the peace. Verse 5 says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, shrieking. Verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, he's crying out, he's screaming at the Savior. It's an intense word used for just absolutely this noise and the sound. It's unseemly. Every day we hear this unseemly, sometimes music and unseemly kind of atmosphere that disturbs the peace. I'm not telling you what to wear. I'm not telling you what to listen to. I'm just saying today we ought to be aware that the devil's at work around us. When there's darkness, when there's disturbance, when there's violence, when there's shrieking. Listen, friend, Isaiah 14:11, the pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. This man was, number four, religiously deceitful. When we saw Jesus, he fell down before him. He calls him by the right name. He calls him the Son of God. He has all the right words. He says, I adjure thee, I command you, Jesus, thy God. But he has no real reverence and real love for Jesus. It's just a show. He has a dread for the future. Look at the text. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? I beseech thee, torment me not. Matthew 8:28-29 says, are you come to torment us before the time? The devil and his demons know that the time is short. We sing about in a moment. So we know that when Jesus Christ comes again, we know the devil, the second coming, the devil will be bound in the bottomless pit there for 1,000 years and all of his demons. And we know at the end of that 1,000-year reign, all of hell and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. They know their time is short. They know their time is up, and they didn't want to be tormented. They're hypocrites. The ones that were tormenting this man said, don't torment me. There's hypocrisy here. A dread for a future. A hypocrisy that's very clear. And we understand that they speak of this time that is coming. Revelation 16:13 says there are demons right now chained in hell that during the tribulation will be released like frogs to come out of the mouth and torment the land. 2 Peter 2, verse 4, Jude 6 and 7, these demons are in everlasting chains. Revelation chapter 9, we see them laid out, put in place, the pit belching forth these demons. I don't want to draw attention to all this. Understand there are some demons chained in judgment today for the tribulation. These apparently had free reign. They didn't want to be chained. They didn't want to be in judgment yet. They didn't want the final thing to come and play. They wanted to bring as many people as they could to hell with them. And that's all the devil wants to do. He's on a leash. He knows that his time is up. The devils know. The demons tremble. They know that Jesus is king and Jesus is coming to rule and to reign. And their only intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you feel like that's what you're doing to make you happy, it's not. It's what the devil is trying to do to destroy your life. He has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil just wants to drag as many people to hell as he possibly can. He can't bring you life. He can't bring you joy. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. You get the joy of the Lord. You get that power to live the Christian life. The devil can only offer a cheap substitute. He tries to fill those that are lost with his unholy spirit, gives them a little bit of lies and a little bit of fake power, not to help them, not to help others, but to destroy them. I can personally attest to that with activity in my life for several years. I'm thankful today that Jesus makes the difference. We see next, he was defiant of authority. Verse 4, he was often bound with fetters and chains. Chains had been plucked by him. The fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He could not be bound. He was violent. Nothing brought under control. Sometimes we see this rebellious, violent, antisocial type behavior. Driven away, driving everybody else away, driving his friends and family. Many times, friend, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against spiritual wickedness. You're wrestling against the powers of this world. Just maybe it's influenced by demonic powers. He was dangerous. Matthew 8:28 says he's exceeding fierce that no man might pass that way. Today we would call this one a terrorist. The final characteristic of this man was he was cutting himself with stones. One of the marks of demonic activity are those that beside themselves, cutting themselves. Branding is becoming increasingly popular today as people are even burning into their flesh symbols and pictures. Demonic activity. Listen, I'm telling you, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Self-criticize. Hey, Jesus brings you life to bring you joy and bring you peace and to help others. The devil just brings you pain to hurt yourself and others. But I love the Lord. He doesn't give him a lesson on the proper clothing in the presence of Jesus. He doesn't speak to him about the behavior and how loud he's being and how he needs to be quiet. He doesn't talk to him about his rebellion. He doesn't deal with some of the things that we perhaps would try to externally try to deal with. He goes right to the heart of the matter. And it's a matter of the heart. In fact, he addresses this one. Ask him the name. The demon answers. Notice the proclamation of deliverance. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He identified the enemy. And then he directed the enemy away. I don't know if he was trying to ask the man his name and this demon spoke up. I don't know. I just know that somehow the demon took over and began to speak. We've been in there. We've been in situations like that. We've been over homes where there's been skulls that we've had to say, listen, that needs to be burnt before we finish this discussion. This one answered, we are legion. In the Roman army, a legion had more than 6,000 soldiers. In fact, specifically, 6,826. 6,100 were foot soldiers, 726 were horsemen. Now, they could have been lying. But the Bible says in Luke that there are many, very many. Possibly at least 2,000, as the 2,000 pigs were filled with these demons. The Bible tells us that Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels. Unless you be afraid of the devil and his demons, realize that a third of heaven fell. But that simply just tells us that the devil's outnumbered 2-1. Amen. John 12:31. Now the judgment of this world, the prince of the world, shall be cast out. John 16:11 of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 2:14, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Friend, we're not fighting against the devil. Jesus and the devil are not at some big war against each other. He's already won. Amen. We say, I've read the back of the book and we win. I've read the back of the book. I've read the middle of the book. I've begun the beginning of the book. And from the very opening pages, we've already won.
Amen.
When Jesus shed his blood, he made and came to that grave. He made a show of them openly. When he rose from the dead, triumphant, and death has no power over us. The presence of demons, the proclamation of deliverance, he said, come out. He identified and he delivered. Friend, you must identify what you're fighting against. I'm not saying you need to start having conversations with the devil and demons. In fact, I wouldn't recommend that. It's time to pray to the Lord and not pray to the devil. Some people say, well, I talk to the devil and I rebuke the devil and I talk to demons. Hey, how about you talk to the Lord? Even Michael the archangel in the book of Jude said, the Lord rebuke thee. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord for his power and his strength. Listen today, he has all power to deliver anybody at any time. Hey, apply this today. I'm not asking you to go crazy and start walking around seeing demons under every rock. But I am saying that we live in a place that is surrounded by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if the devil doesn't have direct influence, he's not omnipresent. His demons aren't everywhere at all times. But there's an influence. There's a spiritual wickedness. There's a principality that has infiltrated our entertainment system, infiltrated our movies and music. It's being presented around us. Our culture is affected. So understand, when you're walking about, identify what the enemy has done. And when you're rebuking, you're using the word of God, as Jesus did, to fight the enemy. Presence of the demons, the proclamation of deliverance. Thirdly, look at the pleading of the demons. They tried to negotiate with Jesus. Look at verse number 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. I'll spare the devil to ham jokes right there. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 and were choked into the sea. Why did Jesus? I heard somebody talk about Jesus saying, how dare he hurt these little piggies? Listen, do you understand that people eat pig all the time? But understand this as well, that these were unclean animals at this time. They weren't even allowed to have these animals by the shore. And when Jesus sends the demons into the pigs, he was demonstrating what happens when somebody is influenced by the devil. Do you know that pigs actually swim? The pigs don't necessarily would ever drive themselves down to the sea and jump over the cliff. And if they were to land in the water, a little oink oink would have probably made his way to shore. But because they were out of their minds, they were doing the unthinkable. I've talked to folks in counseling and people have said, what came over him? Well, it's not a midlife crisis. Perhaps there's a demonic influence.
Yeah.
What is that person doing? What's going on? They were out of their mind. And when you're influenced by the enemy, when you're oppressed or possessed by the enemy, you do things that you would never have ordinarily done. This one lost all mental and physical capacity, and they were drowned. Now, I'm thankful today, if you're saved, you can't be possessed with the devil. The Bible says that the spirit lusteth and envy. The devil, that we cannot be possessed. We cannot be, we can be oppressed but not possessed. But there are many in this world that are indeed oppressed and possessed by the enemy. Notice finally the peace of the delivered. Jesus looks at this one and says, come out. When he casts this demon out, as the demon comes out of this man, the Bible says in verse number 11, that there was nigh under the mountains a great herd after the swine jumped into the sea. And they come to Jesus, verse 15, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, Jesus makes a difference. All things are passed away. All things are become new. He has his sanity. Verse 15, he was in his right mind. This man that was completely out of control, under the control of demons, is in his right mind. Do you understand today that people need Jesus to be able to think right? If you're in sin today, if you're under the control of the enemy, you're out of your mind. Come to Christ. Remember the prodigal son? He goes into the far country. He wastes his substance. The Bible says when he came to himself, he realized that things were better at the father's house. Come home today. Whatever influence, whatever the devil has you bound by today, it may be some sort of sin or struggle or some sort of situation, either directly or indirectly. Every sin, every area of darkness is directly related to the activity and work of the enemy. I'm telling you today, come to Christ. Get in your right mind. Come to the Lord Jesus and then salvation. As he comes to Christ, they're saved. This man's changed. He may be here this morning, no peace. You can find peace in Jesus Christ. If Jesus could save the maniac of Gadara, if God could fill a man filled with 6,000 plus possibly demons, he can deliver you today. Amen. He can free your family and your friends. Do you notice they're praying in the text? There's three prayers in the text. The demons prayed. The demons prayed selfishly. These keepers of the swine prayed selfishly. The one man that didn't get his prayer answered was the demoniac who wanted to be with Jesus, but Jesus said, go out there. He was praying selfishly. If you're saved today, you're either one of the three areas. You're either these keepers that lay like these demon-possessed man. They like the fact that they were there. It's easier for them. When Jesus showed up, it messed up their way of business. Hey, listen, when we speak the truth, I'm telling you, friend, we speak the truth to the entertainment industry. We speak the truth to the bars, the nightclubs in town. We speak the truth. When D.L. Moody would come and Billy Sunday would come preach the gospel, all the bars would close up. They're like, get out of here. We don't want you here. You imagine that? The world doesn't want Jesus. But when Jesus comes, people have peace. And what they're seeking for and trying to be satisfied by a substitute is found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. How are you praying today? Are you praying to get rid of Jesus so you can stay in your sin? Are you praying today to simply not be sent out, but simply spend time with Jesus? That's a wonderful thing to be at his feet and pray. It's a wonderful feat. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be there and praise. But Jesus sends forth this man and says, listen, it's not about just spending time with me. Go out and tell your testimony. Go out and share what God has done for you. Sometimes God doesn't just want you to stay and pray or praise. He wants you to go out and proclaim. Yeah. And this man went out and became the first missionary in the Gentile region to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What an amazing story. What an amazing testimony. You say, well, that's just that one man. Well, actually, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 says there were two men. Where there's one, there's two. We don't hear about that second man. I don't know his story. Maybe he was just quiet and he kind of was long for the ride. But guess what? He got saved too. They both went out. They went out two by two. Amen. Soul-winning partners for Jesus. Formerly demon-possessed men, filled with God's power, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an amazing testimony. Two going out. And when there's two, there could be three. Four, there could be your testimony and your story. What an amazing story. Each of us today have a story. If you're saved today, you have a testimony. I don't know what it is. I don't know where you've been. You've not been called, and I've shared this many times, you've not been called to walk around this world as a judge. You've not been called as a prosecuting attorney. You've been called as a witness. That word for witness is simply to tell people where you've been and what God has done in your life. Not all of us, and all of us should be a judge. Not all of us should walk around as a prosecution, but we should be witnesses to testify of what Jesus has done. Every one of us that are saved has a story. I don't know your story. I don't know your background. It may not be something involving some sort of overtly demonic activity, but you understand sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit are just equally sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has a story when we weren't in our right mind and we were without Jesus Christ. We were lost and dead and trespasses and sins, but Jesus passed by. When's the last time you shared your story of what God has done for you? We see the love of the Lord Jesus who crosses the stormy sea. He goes into that greater storm. He came to help seek and save the lost, to brought healing on display. I'll never forget each Saturday I look forward to the juvenile detention center working there. About a year and a half, that was my highlight in Bible college. I remember a young man, the name of Clark, when I met him and talked to him, he spoke The demon inside, whatever it was, spoke back to me. In low but guttural tones. And I remember what he said. This demon said, he is not. I said, Clark, what's your name? And he said, he is not here. And Clark cannot hear. 3 or 4 times made that statement. He is not here. And Clark cannot hear. I'll be honest with you. I didn't study exorcism in Bible college, so I didn't know what to do. I was like, and I am not here either. So I kind of walked away. And I left him a gospel tract. I like to say I walked up to him and, you know, all that happened. But, you know, I was like a sophomore. And I'm like, okay. Gave him a gospel tract. I came back the next week. He had taken the gospel tract and cut it up in all these tiny little pieces. Little tiny pieces. I remember I looked at the young man, and this time when I saw, he brought the pieces, the demonic spirit control. He brought the pieces and showed me the pieces in the hand. And I don't know what I was saying. Out of my mouth just came, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's all I said. And again, I walked away very slowly. Came back that third week. I felt somewhat shaken, like a failure. In fact, I didn't even want to go back to the juvenile detention center. I say, here's this kid. He's probably 12 or 13 years of age. I'm beginning to think maybe he has mental problems. Maybe it's just something that's not even demonic, but it's weird how he answered. He is not here and he's not here. Ripped up gospel tracts. And it was Friday. I didn't want to go. It was Friday night. I finally felt led to go back in. When I walked in, Clark was gone. I talked to others. And that day, we saw over 20 saved in the juvenile detention center. Over 20. Usually it was maybe one, maybe two. It was tough. We would walk into A block, go to the area of B, and we'd meet at C. Usually they were hardened. Usually they were cut up. But this time, 20 trusted Christ as Savior. And I said, what happened? He said, that boy, Clark, the crazy boy. You remember him? He said, Clark. I said, yeah. He said, you know, when you left, he would have conversations with himself all night. He's like, there's a talking back and forth. And he would answer. He would hear him say, he that hath a son hath life. He that hath not a son of God hath not life. And then he would hear guttural sounds. He that hath not the son of God hath not life. And guttural denials. He said, just a couple nights ago, he said, we heard Clark cry out to the Lord in his voice. I want the son. I want life. He said, we saw Clark. When he left, he was a whole new boy. I've never met him. I don't know where Clark is at today. I pray I'll be able to meet this young man sometime, someday. I'll meet him up in heaven if it's up there. But when I saw myself as a failure, I saw myself as scared and in fear. I realized that day the word of God never returns void. Amen. It's not my power. It's his power. It's not me. It's Jesus. Use the word. Use his strength. Just share the testimony. Gospel song. Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his grace I'm free. Now, it's different. Oh, so different now. Song goes on to say, sin's fetters held me fast. The die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit would not bow. But just one glimpse of him, it broke the power of sin. Now, it's different. Yes, it's so different now. And now my hopes are bright. I praise him day and night. How he could change me, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.